When you're stuck in a lift or you're waiting for a meeting to start, what's your go-to small talk opener? Something really shallow and innocuous to break the ice. Do you talk about the weather? Do you talk about the traffic? Do you ask everyone's coffee shop preferences? Mine is super lame. I just like, oh, how's your day been so far? But it gets you thinking about why we even make small talk and what happens if you just stop. Well, one writer has done that. Claire Easton recently wrote an article where she says she was relieved to dispense with the pleasantries during COVID and just never went back. So then when someone tried to engage in polite surface level chat with her, she made a concerted effort to ask something deeper or more personal in response. Someone I will never tire of talking to, small or big, is Christine Bagley-Jones. She's our resident psychologist. She joins me fortnightly for Head and Heart. Christine, how's your day been so far?
I know what you're doing here, Tegan. It's been okay.
Do you have a small talk opener or are you just straight to the big talk?
Look, it's quite an occupational hazard of mine that I struggle with small talk because habitually in my day job, we dispense with that almost within the first couple of minutes. And so, yeah, the trap I'm in is I've got to probably lean back into it sometimes. And I don't love small talk. So, yeah, I find I go deep very quickly, which is different from a lot of the other people I communicate with outside of work.
I want to know now what's your opening question in a therapy session usually?
Well, it varies because, you know, you have a very personal relationship. So you usually know what that client has roughly been doing. So I can normally pick up a thread from last session. But if nothing comes to mind, I might just say, tell me what's been happening.
Mm. Which could be as big or as shallow as you want it to be, an icebreaker. So I mentioned this article by Claire Easton. What was it about Claire's story that stood out for you?
I loved the idea of it. I loved the fact that she was so self-aware that she discovered that the small talk was actually depleting her energy, and she was self-described as an introvert. So she didn't have a lot of fuel in the tank when she went out, and then she was using it all up in kind of not very deep chatter, which then would mean she'd go home and think, well, what was that all about? What a waste. And she consciously decided to change it up.
The thing that got me, because I was like, oh, well, then what are you talking about? And she talks about meeting someone and asking them straight up what their star sign was, which is almost like a cliched pickup line, really. But then it was the thing that then sparked a deeper conversation. So it doesn't have to be like, tell me your deepest fears, or what's your relationship like with your father, to sort of get out of the small talk vibe.
Oh, and you've got to go carefully too. And the star sign one is a bit controversial because you have those that believe and those that don't. But even that would spark an interesting conversation potentially. I also liked she was talking about being in an art gallery, and instead of just commenting on the art, she asked the person next to her, what was your art teacher at school like?
Mm.
And I thought, that's a bit left off centre. It would catch people off guard. I don't know if I would have the appetite to do that, but I loved the idea of looking at the theme and then just going a bit left off centre.
What are we trying to do when we're engaging in small talk?
Small talk in and of itself isn't a beast. It's actually helpful and really essential because it's kind of like testing the waters when you're with someone, whether it's someone that you know well or someone that you're just getting to know. It's gauging where they're at, because even someone that you might know well might not be in the mood to go deeply. So it's kind of like that foray, but the problem is we could be a bit lazy or just not be able, for whatever reason, go deeper. And then it just stops at those, you know, entry-level conversations, which were really just designed to sort of safen the situation so that you're setting the tone to go to the really nourishing conversations.
I'm wondering about whether this is a human thing or a cultural thing. I don't know if you know, Christine, like, do other cultures have a similar level of small talk? Is it kind of a universal human experience to chat and fill space, or is this something that we've sort of learned through a cultural lens?
Mm. Tegan, I do think it varies from culture to culture. I think some cultures very much are comfortable with silences, so they don't have to fill it all with bumf. They can actually just sit comfortably. And other cultures also have other rules. Like, we're quite a low context culture in that we rely on words more than body language or rituals or norms. So some cultures are very value orientated or family orientated. So it's very reasonable early on in the conversation to go straight to how's your mother's health, or going into deeper conversations quicker because it's already established as a norm, which we don't tend to have.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to our resident psychologist, Christine Bagley-Jones. She joins me fortnightly for a chat that we call Head and Heart. And today we're talking about small talk. Drew in Grafton says, when I'm in a lift, I thank everyone for attending the meeting and ask who's going to take minutes. It usually gets a laugh and starts an interaction between occupants. Another text says, most neurodivergent people can't do small talk. I know that for me, I've trained myself to sort of do it, but I'm constantly worrying that I'm doing it right. Christine, talk to me about neurodivergence and that sort of surface level obligatory conversation.
I think that's why I almost have a preference to communicating with neurodivergent people because they can't see the relevance necessarily, and also there's an awkwardness also to small talk because it feels like it's a game of tennis. It's back and forth, but no one's really thinking that much. Whereas people that are more neurodivergent will be more interested in asking questions that they actually have curiosity about. And I often find that there's a lot of genuine interest in the engagement. So it's nice for us, all of us, to just realize that everyone has different levels of desire around small talk, and perhaps if we all could just get a little bit better at realizing it's just stage one and the whole goal of it is to ease the situation so that you can go that bit deeper, because that's where all of the really good stuff for our health is.
I'm getting so many fantastic suggestions on the text line. I want you to give me like an out of 10 how you think that they rate in terms of small / big talk, Christine. Sean says, I like to try what's on your mind right now, or is there anything challenging right now you're comfortable talking about?
Well, I love that. That is super brave. You'd probably need to choose your audience a little bit there. If you're in the lift with that one, that could you don't have the time before you're stepping out. But I love that, because that's the sort of thing that we want. We want to be really genuinely curious about people, but not make them uncomfortable either.
Another one, Amy in Castlemaine says, I like that some other cultures ask, what do you dedicate yourself to rather than what do you do for work? Gives people room to speak about a hobby, an interest, their family or pets, something they're currently passionate about.
That's a 10 out of 10.
What are your hobbies, Christine?
My hobbies? Well, I love yoga and pickleball and reading and hanging out with my family when they're not driving me nuts. And I have lots of hobbies, and I love hearing about other people's hobbies because I do see them as, like, hobbies are such an important part of our life. And it's true what that caller was suggesting, is we go straight to what do you do for work instead of, I guess, the things that people often would prefer to talk about, which is things that are a bit more connected to who they are.
You ask someone what they do for work and they sigh. You ask someone what they do for a hobby and you see their eyes light up.
They light up, yeah.
And Gilda says, tell me something you've done for yourself lately, is her opener.
That is, I'm wondering if she's in the healthcare profession because that's such a beautiful statement, because there's a bit of love infused with that too. And it's that sort of reminder in life, like that's almost like a bumper sticker. It's like, I want to know more about you, but I want to know what you're doing for you. That it ticks so many boxes. I'd love to have a chat with her.
Some really great chatters on the text line. Christine, what steps can we take if we do want to go that layer deeper, we do want to discover that more nourishing conversations, as you said before, where do you start?
So be kind to yourself if you're not used to it, because it is a skill and it's not for the faint-hearted, because you have to be kind of brave, don't you? Small talk's safe. We already know that it can't really go too badly. Once you start going a bit deeper, you could press buttons. So I think the very first step is self-awareness. Just be ready for, this could be a bit tricky and I'm having to engage with some courage, which is really good for my health. And now I'm also going to listen to that person differently. It's not about the talk, it's about the listen, and picking up on any cue that could then allow for that deeper conversation a little bit more on their terms rather than your terms. And then just be willing to share, because once you share a little bit, hopefully it becomes reciprocal, and that's where you'll get that sort of momentum of a deeper conversation.
It still feels kind of like rolling out lines like this, like we're doing with the texts and the sorts of examples we're giving, still feels quite scripted. There's a lovely text here saying, it doesn't matter what you say, the important part is being genuine and interacting with authenticity. I think this is what people call deep.
I agree. And in fact, you I know we overuse the word authenticity, and I wish we could have other words so it would be fresh again in people's minds, because if you take that to almost any setting, it's going to bode well because it's going to sit well with you and the other person's going to be more interested because they don't feel like there's that barrier of superficiality. So being genuine is really key. And yeah, it's not often what you're asking or what you're saying, it's how you're doing it. And if it's with genuine interest and hopefully some empathy, like I'm curious about what's going on for you. I may not even know you that well, but just from a humanistic level, I do care.
Well, I need to close on my version of the star sign question, which is what biscuit are you in those family packs of the various assorted creams? What biscuit are you, Christine?
Tegan, I've tapped them all, and it really is a mood thing, because once you've overdone the Kingston, you've got to move on to those, you know, those ones that are like a shortbread with the cream in the middle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like them.
They're called
too.
Shortbread cream, I think.
Right, okay.
Incredible. Perfect answer. 10 out of 10. I'm a Monte Carlo, in case you couldn't tell. Well, Christine Begley-Jones, thank you so much for joining me, as always.
Most welcome, Tegan.
Psychologist Christine Begley-Jones is founder of Plenish Mind Health. She joins me fortnightly for our chats that I call head and heart. More texts on small talk. When I first moved to Australia, I started the morning by reading the sports headlines in the newspaper, then just repeating the one in the office tea room. It always sparked conversation. Greg says, my small talk starts with, so how's the quantum world treating you? To which I would say, Greg, I'm feeling quite entangled right now.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.